We exalt the Word of God, which has been given for our knowledge and for our edification, and also that same Word goes forth and lets other people know of the truth. And we know that Word is the message of You, Lord, for us and for the world to hear. We thank You for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're coming tonight to the question, what is the Pure Cambridge Edition of the King James Bible? And what we can understand is that because God's Word is law, and the law is laid down by God to be obeyed, and that it is the measure by which our lives are measured against, then we need to have a Word that is God's true Word, the truth. And first of all, we find from the Scripture that the Word of God shows us that there must be a pure Word. And what does that mean? Well, let's look in Psalm 68, verse 11. This is God's Word, so it's reflecting and revealing the things of the nature of God. So if we say today we have the Word of God, and we call it the Bible, the Holy Bible, then that book is supposed to be reflecting the things of the nature of God. And it's supposed to be revealing the things that God wants to reveal. And of course, God being all powerful, He is able to do this. Psalm 68, verse 11. It says, "The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it." We see God has given His word. God has given His word, and in His word are promises in the Scripture concerning that word. And it also outlines where it's come from. You know, the Bible has been given by God by inspiration. And that means that God used men to write down His words. Prophets spoke the words and they were written down. And those words have formed what we know is the inspiration of the Word of God. And they're the writings that people had in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Well, those words, they weren't lost, were they? They weren't lost in history. You know, those things that the Apostle Paul wrote, he might have written a letter to the Galatian church. Well, when the Galatian church received that word, that letter, we have it in our Bibles as the book of Galatians, that word wasn't lost. God's communication didn't end there. In fact, they copied that, and it was copied many times over many years, and so the word of God was scattered abroad. And we know that because of that, the word of God is being widely disseminated all around the planet Earth to this very day. The Word of God has gone everywhere. Okay, so God's Word, which He gave, which the apostles or the prophets wrote down, that's gone forth and it's been scattered abroad. We find a promise in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. And we know, of course, when God gave the Word, He wasn't giving lies or half-truths. There weren't mistakes in those things that the apostles or prophets wrote down. That was the true Word of God. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, this is what Jesus said. Matthew 5, verse 18, He said, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." There's power in that word. And God's power has been released to keep that word. And when I say keep, I do not just mean keep that word as in God will perform what it says, which is certainly a major promise that God has, but also the promise of the word that God would actually keep the very words themselves. That is, that the law of God itself would not diminish in any way, in any place, so that no verse would go missing out of the Bible. You know, well, that verse was lost in the 1300s and we don't have it anymore. That's not a true statement. You see, the Bible shows that every jot and every tittle would endure to the end of the world and would endure till the time, and we know in fact it's an eternal word, would endure all the time of this creation. So there can't be any part of the word that God gave that's going to go away in history. And when we see that He talks even about the jot and the tittle, that means even the smallest portion of the Word of God. A jot is like one letter, and a tittle is just a part of a letter or a piece of punctuation. So God is promising that every aspect of His law, every aspect of His Word, is going to be present in the earth and kept. But we know, as I said before, that the Word of God was scattered abroad everywhere. So then we have to come to another question is, how did that Word come together? How did it come together so that we could have it, and we'll see prophecies about it, in fact, in the Scripture, in one book, in one place? Okay, if we look in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, we see that the church has been the medium or vehicle which God has used to look after the Word of God. So when the Word of God was given, it was given originally to both Israel and also to the church, and that through history the church has been the vehicle to this very present day who has looked after the Word of God. So it's not an atheist organisation today that's looking after the Bible. It's very clear that it's the church. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's what the Scripture says. So it's the church where the very words are going to be kept as well, and the mechanisms or processes that God has set up, just as God set up apostles and prophets for the perfecting of the saints and so on, we find all those kind of things in the Scripture. So God has set up in the church ways by which the words themselves, the promises of the Word of God, would be kept, so that we could have today the Bible that is exactly the same Bible or same message that God gave originally without things being taken out or added into it. Now that's a very dangerous thing, to be taking away or adding to the Word of God. And we know that accidents can happen, but God is more powerful than accidents. And we know also that people deliberately try and undermine the Bible, but God is more powerful than those evil people who might try and change Scriptures. Here we see in the book of Matthew chapter 20 in verse 19 and 20, this is what Jesus tells the church. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, well, them is the nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So in verse 20, Jesus tells the church, first the apostles and then of course the whole church, to be teaching the word, teaching to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Let's see two very important things in that. First of all, that we should have available to us the very words that Jesus spoke. Because Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. How can a person today know what Christ has commanded except we have His Word? Second of all, He promises that there should be an obedience to His very words. In other words, that we should actually do what He says. And that comes out of, first of all, having His Word available. You see, if we want to be obedient Christians, we have to have a standard or a basis for our obedience. And the Holy Ghost has made sure that we have the Word of God available to us so that we can have powerful Christianity, or that is the works of the Kingdom of God coming out of that as the basis. So what we see here is that He's promising that the Word of God would be available for us to see and to know and to be able to obey and do it. So we're not obeying made up things or something that doesn't exist. We're obeying something that we can definitely see and read. It's like the Ten Commandments. We know what those commandments are. We can look at what's written there, and then we measure our actions according to what's written. So, you know, one of the Ten Commandments, it doesn't say, thou shalt kill. It says, thou shalt not kill. And so we understand that the Word of God has been kept through history, so it didn't change from thou shalt kill to thou shalt not kill, but exactly what God wanted all the time has been communicated to us today, without any words being changed or any of the message being changed. We know that the words of men, they change, but God's word is not to change at all. Isaiah 34 verse 16. And the prophet Isaiah talks in this prophecy about a book of the Lord. Well, for there to be a book of the Lord in a prophecy, that must mean that we should see that today we should be able to observe what is this book of the Lord. And he said in Isaiah 34, verse 16, he said, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read." Well, some people say, well, the word of God is true and pure in heaven. Well, how can you seek out of that book that's in heaven? In fact, the Bible tells us, Moses said it, he said that you should not ever say, oh, who's going to go to heaven for us, or go to the furthest end of the sea or the depths of the ocean to find the word. And we know the Apostle Paul said the answer to that was that the word of God was nigh thee, even in thine heart and in thy mouth. So what we understand is that there is definitely a word available to us that we can observe with our eyes to look at in the physical universe. It's on paper for us, or might be on a computer screen or whatever, but it's observable to us. The words are observable to us, and we can seek out of it. We can look into it. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. You know that that book of the Lord is the place where the words of God have been gathered together. I mentioned before that when the apostles or prophets wrote the scriptures down, that they eventually were scattered abroad. We know that through history, after the fall of the Roman Empire, there was copies everywhere of bits and pieces of different portions of the books of the Bible. Well, those things had to come together, didn't they? We can't just have, well, the book of Galatians is over there, you know, around, scattered around the place, or bits and pieces of the truth are here and there and everywhere. But what has to happen? And what happened in history? In the Reformation, people brought those things together so that we could have a printed book with the printing press, printing a book called the Bible, and that Bible was the bringing together of all the words so that we could have them in a book even today to look into, God's Word. So that's a prophecy fulfilled. So it's no accident that the printing press was invented or the Reformation happened. You know, when Martin Luther nailed those things onto the door of that university chapel, that's not an accident that that happened, but that what came out of those events in the history of the world was that we could have a Bible today to look at that was exactly correct. So it's not an accident that the things have happened that have happened in the history of the world. God is in control. In Isaiah 28 verse 11, so every word has been gathered together by God. That's the text of the Bible. And also, the meaning of those words has been kept as well. In Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 11, it says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." That's a prophecy. That God would be able to communicate in other languages. You know, besides being a prophecy of Pentecostalism, it's also a prophecy that God can and would use another language to communicate his word. And you know, the Bible today is gone forth in all the earth today, everywhere, and it's principally in one language, and that language is the English language. Today, the Bible for the world is the English Bible. So it's in another language to the language that was originally used by God, which was, for example, for the Old Testament Hebrew or the New Testament Greek, that today God is using one language to have both the Old and the New Testament together in one book, so that you've got one unified book with every book of the Bible in it, with every word that belongs in it, with every meaning correct in it, in the English Bible. If we look in Matthew chapter 21, verses 42 and 43. Matthew chapter 21, 42 and 43. And we'll see in this verse, or these verses, that Jesus spoke of a specific phenomenon that would happen concerning the increase of the kingdom of God. Jesus saith unto them, "Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you," talking to Jews there, "and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." And what do we find out of that in conjunction with the things we've already mentioned is that God has used non-Jewish nations to promote his word and to do the things of the kingdom of God. In, for example, the last few hundred years, we see England or Britain and United States of America being used by God for printing the Bible and getting the gospel out in a very great way, much more than other places have been. So this is a witness to us concerning that the Bible going forth to the world, to the whole nations, is being used by God in the English language, because both those nations I mentioned there are English-speaking nations. What we see even more than this is the Bible, which they've been using mainly, and especially from about the year 1600 to about the year 1900, or even further than that, 1950, we see the main Bible they were using through all that time was one version of the Bible, and that was the King James Bible. So the King James Bible in God's plan is very important, and we'll see that if we look in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 18 to verse 20. Romans chapter 10, verses 18 to verse 20. Romans 10, starting from verse 18, says, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me." You know, this is a prophecy here showing that the word of God would go forth to the ends of the earth. Well, how has the word of God gone forth to the ends of the earth? We can see quite plainly throughout history that the English Bible is the Bible that went forth, for example, to the South Pacific. It was the King James Bible that was brought there by missionaries, such as the Methodist missionaries in the 1800s. So this is a witness to us that the scripture prophecy concerning the words going to the ends of the world, and also when we find in the book of Acts it talks about the uttermost part of the earth hearing the gospel, and so on, many other verses and prophecies in the Bible concerning this, we can match that up with that the King James Bible has been the principal way by which God has communicated the gospel to many foreign people throughout the earth. That it's gone forth through the earth, and today, because more people are speaking English than ever before, that the King James Bible is the most principal way by which God has used and is now using and should use in the future to get his message out to people all over the world. And we can see that because the internet now is a medium that's conducive to that. In Acts chapter 19, verse 20, we find a prophecy concerning the word of God. Now, all the barriers that were in the way of the word of God going everywhere before are being taken out of the way. For example, language barriers. If we have one pure Bible in one language and the world is speaking one language, then all the barriers concerning the gospel not being able to reach faraway places or foreign countries, those barriers are being taken out of the way. And so there is fulfillment of the promises of the word of God. And Acts chapter 19 verse 20 says, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." This is the progress or the nature of the word of God, that it should go forward in mighty power and should prevail. So over time, we should expect to see, and we have seen it through history already, that the Word of God has gone forth and goes forth everywhere. In fact, for many, many years in Australia, what was the Bible but the King James Bible? And, you know, for about almost 200 years of Australian history, the principal Bible in Australia was the King James Bible. Well, we want it to be the principal Bible today and in the future. We don't want false Bibles or no Bibles to be the principal way. We want the King James Bible to be the one. And we'll see even further that, in fact, God has raised up a specific form of the King James Bible, or the purified form of it. And Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 shows us something about this. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. You know, there's lots of different books calling themselves Bibles nowadays. But God has a pure word. And that pure word must be available, otherwise all those promises and prophecies in Scripture were lies. And of course we know they're not lies, therefore there must be a pure word of God today. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, it says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him." Okay, so there's a bit of a step of faith there, because you have to make a decision concerning that promise, because you might not know every word in the Bible, and you might not be able to tell in your own mind whether every word is pure. But when you believe what God says in His promise, and you can see evidences and hear the preaching and read teaching about this, it should be a matter of reason and faith, or reasonable faith, because faith is reasonable, to accept that God's word is available, which is pure. And what is that pure word? Well, it must be in the King James Bible. That's the best Bible in the world, according to many historical sources. That's been the Bible that's gone forth everywhere, that's accurate, that hasn't got missing verses in it. That's the Bible that accurately portrays in its older style of language the exact meaning of God's message. If you looked at a modern version today, they bring down the language to such a low level that many of the ideas of the Bible are just gone away. They'll change the word heaven to the word sky. Well, that bringing it down to that level of speech is taking away a lot of information, because each word is loaded with information. So when we use the word heaven, for example, that's just one example of many examples, that word heaven has certain meanings. It has certain meanings in certain contexts. So when we understand that the Bible is very pure, we're going to say, that word heaven belongs there. I don't want to change it. I don't want to change my Bible to the word sky or some other word. I want to keep it exactly how God has provided it to me. I receive His word. Now, a particular man, his name was Edward Hills. He wrote in a book called The King James Version Defended. He wrote this quote. He said, "In the special providence of God, however, the text of the King James Version has been kept pure." This is a man who recognized through his studies of Bible manuscripts and historical knowledge that he had, he saw that God had supplied to us today a pure word. If we look in Psalm 12 verses 6 and 7, we'll begin to see now that the King James Bible itself has been looked after by God and purified itself. Psalm 12 verse 6 and 7. This is a prophecy of the Scripture that shows that we can't keep on having new versions of the Bible or keep on changing it, but there must be one particular book or appearance of the Bible which is correct. And of course we know that that's the King James Bible. And then in the King James Bible there must be one particular appearance of the words that is correct or pure. And we'll see this. Psalm 12 verse 6 and 7 says in verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." We can see here that it talks about seven purifications of the Word of God. He didn't say hundreds and hundreds or never-ending purifications. He said seven. And this should indicate to us that we can't keep thinking, or people think, that they can keep bringing out new versions of the Bible to keep up with the modern language, or new versions to keep up with the latest knowledge of scholars, which is the knowledge of men and not of God, but that we can see God as historically and to this time provided a word that is pure and has gone through seven purifications. And this is a very basic thing to understand, that the King James Bible, after it was made or printed the first time, there were some problems there. The printers made some printing mistakes around the place. Well, does that make the word of God of no effect? That they used a form of language at that time which is a little bit old compared to today. It wasn't quite standardized. They had funny spellings for words and things like that. Does that make the word of God not pure or for us of no effect? What happened? Well, through time, at different years since 1611, some godly men at different stages of history have worked to make sure that the Bible was exactly correct. They got rid of the errors that the printers made. They always made sure that the word of God was correct, and they made sure that the spelling was uniform so that we have today the word of God that doesn't have spelling mistakes in it at all, neither does it have anything that doesn't match up with what God would call pure. In other words, today we can be confident that God has made sure that his word is pure and that we can read it pure, and that in having a pure word, it matches up with other things of history. For example, that God has provided for us the printing press and has provided for us the internet, has provided for us the kind of things in the church that are working together for the good of having his word go forth to the world. So it's not an accident that at this time we're acknowledging this particular edition of the King James Bible, the pure Cambridge edition. It's not an accident in history, but we can see that because God has put all these things together, and out of his seven purifications through history, and that God has kept his word, it says from this generation forever in verse 7, we can see now we've come to a time where because we have the things that have clicked into place through God's providence, God now wants us to take a step further, and that is to accept his pure word and for us to learn about it and for us to promote it and for us to go forth with it. I'll give just a few quick examples to show that the pure word of God is different to other words. For example, if you look on the back of any Victory Faith Centre booklet, which we have available at Victory Faith Centre, it says, how to know the pure Cambridge edition of the King James Bible. And then it says under there, and I'll read it out, it says, it is important to have the correct, perfect and final text of the King James Bible, since there are correctors, e.g. publishers, who have changed some aspect of King James Bible texts. So that's a dangerous thing, to be getting the pure word and changing it away from purity, or to have a different text and think that that's all right to stay with that. In fact, we want to conform to the pure, because if we're going to another King James version or to a modern version, which is completely changing the language, changing the texts, changing everything about their view of the Bible, are we going right away from purity if we do that? Anyway, I read some more. It says, the final form of the King James Bible is the pure Cambridge edition, circa 1900, which conforms to the following. And then it has a list there of some scriptures you can look up where the words are different in some King James Bible but are correct in the pure Cambridge edition. So when you look at that, you'll see that. And why is that so important? Well, the Bible said that every word of God is pure. Even one little word difference is going to be a difference in whether or not God's word is pure or not, because we want to get exactly God's message and have exactly his law. And law is a fixed thing. It's not God's law said that one day and then God's law changed so that that no longer was illegal or legal. God's law isn't like that. It's the same law. And that means that the words describing that law or the words of that law can't change around. God wants to have a fixed word, and that's exactly what he's provided for us, one that can go forth so that now the whole world can hear his pure word. Let's look in the scripture at Isaiah 42 verse 4. Isaiah 42 verse 4. Now, in Victory Faith Centre, we have available copies of this Pure Cambridge edition, and that's a Bible that's come out of the Cambridge University Press, and they were renowned for keeping the Word of God historically, keeping the King James Bible properly printed. They're also associated with the making of the King James Bible, so the historical links are very good, and also that Cambridge has been associated with advances of Christianity, such as the Puritan movement in history as well. So this is not just an accident that God has let these things work together, so that that Cambridge Bible, which was then in around the year 1900, they produced the Pure Cambridge edition, which was edited by someone called Henry Redpath. That man, he produced the final form of the King James Bible, the final edition, which has exactly the right words and the right spelling of Hebrew words and so on, everything correct in it. And we can rely on it that there's no mistakes in the Bible at all, but if some mistake happened in history, it's been fixed up. It's never been, the Word of God was lost. Let's look here in Isaiah 42 verse 4. And this is a prophecy and ties into that we and the elders of Victory Faith Centre are operating as guardians to the Pure Cambridge edition, which means we want to be keeping that word and promoting it and exalting it. And that this is a prophecy in Isaiah concerning that there should be certain people ready to receive the word of God and wanting to hear it. Isaiah 42 verse 4 says, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." Well, yeah, that's a prophecy concerning the word of God coming forth to the isles of the earth, and that in fact God has made sure there's a preparation so that they would be ready to receive it. That's why I think that it's happened in Australia rather than in America, because the word isles, and you can see Australia is associated with islands, America is a continent. And so what we can understand and see is that even the furthest ends of the earth, the Gentile people, when they receive the gospel of Christ, it's because God has prepared their hearts for that. And we should believe that the Pure Cambridge edition is sent forth. We should believe that it should go to places, you know, in the ocean, that it should go everywhere in the earth. And that God wants the word to be established throughout the world, the pure word. So we shouldn't be holding on to or thinking that it's all right to use any old Bible or any Bible with the word King James written on it is correct, because there's all kinds of modernizations that are out now with that word King James written on it, or that there are accidents of the press that have marred some editions of the Bible. We shouldn't be holding on to that or holding and saying, well, this is the pure word of God, when really it isn't. But we should hold to that edition, which can plainly be shown, and there's lots of information to show this, that the Pure Cambridge edition is the pure word, and that's the one that's been printed by the Cambridge University Press until recent times, and also has been printed by the Collins, William Collins printers as well, and is available through Victory Faith Centre. And we ourselves are working and printing and made available that text as well through the internet. Let's look in Psalm 119, verse 140. And we'll conclude with this scripture. I'll just mention that Victory Faith Centre has teaching materials available on this subject, and on the front table there's several different booklets, including there's some recently produced booklets, and they're also available through the internet on the Bible Protector website as well. These Victory Faith Centre booklets called the Pure Cambridge Edition of the Final King James, the Pure Cambridge Edition, the Final King James Bible, and another booklet called God's Chosen Edition of the King James Bible. But first of all, as an introduction, you should definitely read Pastor Craig Savage's book, The Authorised King James Version Connection, or Authorised King James Bible Connection. And that book gives a very basic introduction in the footnotes it mentions about the Pure Cambridge Edition. And after that, you can read some of the other booklets as well. But we want to become learned in this area, and it's not a hard thing. if we start with Pastor Craig's booklet, because it's a very gentle way of teaching us that God's word is pure and true and is available for us today. Let's look in Psalm 119, verse 140. Psalm 119, verse 140 says, "Thy word is very pure." Well, this is not an absent word or somewhere in the spirit, but it's a present word. It's a present word that we can actually tangibly read, believe, teach, walk our lives according to, listen to, have faith growing from hearing. And because it's very pure, what's the response? Psalm 119, verse 140 tells us, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." You can't love an impure word, but you can love the pure word of God because you know it is the truth. Praise the Lord. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your truth and how, by the Spirit, you witness concerning your word going forth, that the same Bible, the same words that were written down at the time of inspiration, the same words that Jesus spoke, have been kept through church history and have come together through the Reformation and have come together even through our churches, Lord, through the Protestant churches and through into the Pentecostal movement, even to Victory Faith Centre today, Lord, that we should stand up for this word, and I pray that we do stand up and believe your promises concerning a pure word that should be available and go forth to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the world. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll ask Samantha to come forward and accompany us. Once again, we'll